That's not the motive for trying hard, but it is something to contemplate and to realize that we are God's ambassadors.
When I noticed I was becoming very insecure, I would choose, instead of going to Dick, I would go to God and spend time with God. So when Dick hurt me or he angered me by what he did or what he didn't do, I would go get time alone with God and cry out to God and let God give me his perspective on what was going on. And as a result of that, I began seeing that God would show me things in my life that he wanted me to deal with, things he wanted me to work through. And oftentimes after that, I was able then to go to Dick and share with him, and not in a demanding way, but in a way to help him understand what a girl's like, what a girl thinks like, what I'm like, so that if it meant helping prepare him for someone else, then that's what I hoped it would do. But it was because God had made my heart right. And so that was a big issue in dating, and it's also played through now in marriage, having to put my security in God, because Dick's not always going to meet my needs. In fact, a lot of the time he's not going to meet my needs, and I need to, you know, cry. And oftentimes, before in conflict, I need to go to God first, and then we can work out through conflict a lot in a lot better way. And quickly, I wanted to share that oftentimes you wonder, how do you know he's the one? Well, there were some things that happened in our dating relationship that helped me to see that he was the one for me. First, when emotionally he would tell me, I'm emotionally out of our relationship right now. My emotions aren't in it. And but God helped me to see that when he shared that meant, and he would tell me, but I'm dating you based on obedience to God and out of a commitment. And so that would help me to see that he was not only committed in our dating relationship, but if we got married, he would be committed to me in marriage, whether he was emotionally in our relationship or not. And another one was, he honored me physically in our dating relationship. He honored me to stay pure, and to me that showed trust now in our marriage relationship. I can trust him, because I know, as guys know, that's hard. And yet he worked at honoring me through that. And he also, God showed me just throughout our 2.5 years, as I spent many hours writing in my journal, I saw how God was leading me in our relationship, teaching me many things through his life and drawing me closer to God as a result of our relationship. And there were just many little things through the word that God directed us together.
And in closing, I think the biggest thing that drew me to dance was her security of God. And so that'd be my word to all of us, all of you, is to develop a real security. You're filling your soul with God. And because now we're married 13 years later, you know what our foundation is in our marriage is the same thing as the foundation of dating, which is our walk with God and developing a friendship. So thank you.
Thank you, Dick and Nancy. Next we have Julie and Derek Gregory.
Derek has been on staff for 3 years now, and they have been married for 5.5 years, and they have 3 beautiful children. Julie said that what she really likes about Derek is that Derek makes him laugh all the time. And Derek says that he really enjoys that Julie tap dances around the house. And so let's see what they have to say.
Clarify that dancing thing. That helps me to not be so serious all the time. It helps me to lighten up. Well, they've already taken my introduction, but I will add to that, this is my beautiful wife, Julie. And we have 3 beautiful children. And there's one of them over there. Well, this is our 3rd year at OU, and before that we spent 3 years in Boulder, Colorado, 1 year at graduate school, and 2 years working with the BSU there. But we are going to share right now about what the others have been sharing, just what we were doing before we were dating and what God was doing in our life then and how He brought us together and kind of what's happened since then. So we'll go back to one time we were both going to the University of Oklahoma.
Well, when I came to the university, my goal was that I was going to be an independent businesswoman. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't want to have any type of responsibility whatsoever for somebody else. And basically, I just wanted to get through school and start my career and move on up the corporate ladder. I had just come out of a 3-year dating relationship, so I wasn't looking to date anybody, much less a boyfriend or anything like that. I didn't really get involved with the BSU, but I had an upperclassman friend who just encouraged me and kept encouraging me to get involved in the BSU. And when I started getting involved in my second semester there, I found out that that my plans that I had were not what God desired for me.
And God's plans were me. But not yet. When I came to OU, I was going to major in chemical engineering. Didn't have any real long-term goals. I just couldn't think of anything better to do. And my dad had encouraged me there, and some advisors said, why don't you do chemical engineering? So I thought, sure, sounds good. So I started, you know, working in chemical engineering or majoring in that, and got involved with the BSU from the second day I was on campus. And met one of the staff over in the dorms and came over here and helped set up for the pizza bash and met some of the guys that were setting up and got involved with the freshman ministry team at that time and just became involved with that, working on my relationship with God, working, getting some of the basics down in my life, and really wasn't looking to date anybody. Of course, you can't date when you're a freshman anyway, so, you know, that wasn't a real priority. But I wasn't looking anyway. Wasn't looking to date. And was getting to know some guys. Getting to know some of the guys that are around me and the guys on my floor and really developing some relationships with them, which turned out to be some key relationships later on.
By me getting involved with freshman ministry, well, FB, I guess, my second semester, and then I continued on to discipleship team and then on to ministry team. During that time, God really revealed to me just some areas of my life that I just really needed to work through personally. For instance, just like my relationship with my mother, some relationship with some other friends where I needed to go and seek their forgiveness, and also vice versa. During that time, God just really showed to me Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that phrase, all your heart, I hadn't done that. I had given Him my heart, but there were still certain areas that I thought, no, that's okay, God, I can handle this. There's no problem about this one. But God just really showed to me that I had not given Him my whole heart, and there were some areas that I needed to yield to Him. And during this, as God was just really showing me those areas that I needed to yield to Him, my desire, I was really losing that desire to become the independent businesswoman, and I was more gaining a desire, and this was also just observing some of the staff wives with their children, that, you know, it might be fun to be a mom and to have kids. While God was dealing with me all through this time, this was about up to my junior year, and I had kind of dated off and on through the BSU, but I kind of broke it off because for some reason I just didn't I didn't have a peace about it, and there was just certain areas that it was just uneasy. So once again, I found myself having no desire to date, and just really opened up my heart for me to get hurt. And so I just really, just during this time, was praying and asking God, you know, the next man that you bring into my life, I would like for it to be my husband, because of all the problems that I had had with dating and dealing with that, I didn't want to open up my heart and be hurt again. And then I received a phone call.
That would have been me. But I'm getting ahead of myself again. I can't see a pattern here, huh? I was, after my year as a freshman, I got involved with discipleship team and again was developing some strong relationships with the guys on my team that really did prove to be very key later, and even to this day are very key relationships. And I dated just a little, but God really didn't, He ended all those. And I'd noticed Julie her freshman year, but someone had warned me, it might have been the same upperclassman friend that was encouraging her to get involved. She told me, stay away from Julie. So I did, for 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that. What I was doing at this time was the time that I called her, this phone call she received. I'd been going through the prayer notebook for the ministry team and praying through that, and I was trying to get somebody's phone number. And I didn't have it, and I knew some other people that knew that number, so I called around and got that number. And the next person to call on my list was Julie. Now, I already had the number I needed, but I thought, that's a good excuse to call Julie. Why don't I talk to her, see how she's doing? You know, I haven't been warned in a long time not to talk to her, so why not? So I talked to her and found out she wasn't dating anybody, and got some prayer requests, and I didn't do anything then. I started praying. I was just praying for her and praying, you know, doing that. Really hadn't thought, man, I'm ready. But I prayed. And she told me later that some of those prayers were even answered. Then we got back to school that year, and we were both on ministry team. And then I kind of started thinking about, I'd like to ask Julie out. And fairly early in the semester, I did that. Actually had our first date on September 1st in 1990. Had a little double date with some other friends. And thus began our dating relationship. And I took it very slow. In fact, we had a lot of double dates and group dates as we started out. And Julie and her friends were starting to talk about, is Derek ever going to just ask you out by yourself? And I was just taking it slow, you know, being around other people. That's how it started. And one of the things I was really doing then was praying. One of the things that I made sure that I did a priority was I was praying hard. Not just kind of praying every now and then. I was praying hard that I would lead that relationship right. And a verse that I'd memorized then that I was using and actually shared with Julie sometime later was Psalm 73:24, which says, with thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. So I was really praying to God for His counsel that He would guide me through that relationship. And that was one of the big priorities as we started dating.
For me, after that phone call, I didn't think much of it. And then we came back and we had the pizza bash. And so, you know, I was walking around meeting people, and I'd turn around and there was Derek. I'd go over and meet some other people and turn around and there was Derek. I'd go talk to some friends and there was Derek. So that night when we got back to my apartment, my roommate came up to me and she said, Julie, I think Derek likes you. And, you know, I thought, no, I don't think so. But when she said that, it really made me start thinking and start praying. Eventually he did, well, I guess soon after he did, ask me out. And during this time, you know, I had been praying that the next man that would ask me out would be my husband after all the difficulty that I had gone through. And after our first date, we went out on the porch and he said, Julie, he said, I had a great time. I would like to get to know you better, get to know you more. And would it be okay if I asked you out again? And to me, because of that, he was honest to me. He laid everything out. He explained his intentions, and there was nothing for me to question. I knew right then that was the man I was to marry.
No, I didn't know at that time that this was the girl I was going to marry. And she didn't tell me that she was the girl I was going to marry. That was good. But again, I was just praying that God would guide me through all this. And, you know, we didn't have maybe the perfect dating relationship. We don't have the perfect marriage. But Julie and I were talking today, you know, if we could have the perfect dating relationship, perfect marriage, we wouldn't necessarily need God. So I was praying for God to guide me. And because we had encountered problems. We learned to work through them and learn to talk through those things. And we had some good talks in trying to work through some of these things. So we dated for a while through the fall, and then the spring came, and I was going to be graduating in December. And I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to be doing, but I thought probably I was going to be going to graduate school after I graduated. So I was thinking about that, and Julie knew I was thinking about that. But I was starting to kind of think by this time, you know, I think this might be the one. So I was starting to pray about, you know, am I going to take Julie with me to graduate school? And she was thinking,
he better be taking me with him.
But she hadn't told me that she was the one I was going to marry. But I was starting to think about that too and pray about that. And we went to Glen Eyrie. And that very first night at Glen Eyrie, I could tell something was going on with her. So we went out and talked and talked about these very things. Kind of had the ultimate DTR, defining the relationship. So we started talking about this, about marriage and the possibility of marriage. And we'd been sharing our heart, you know, throughout our relationship. And we did even more while we were at Glen Eyrie. And we talked about how we both wanted to really impact people's lives. We didn't know we'd be involved with student work at that time. But the things we were saying, you know, we can look back and they line up to that. We wanted to impact people's lives. We didn't want to just have this goal of settling down in some place and getting a nice, comfortable life and just have it easy and kind of starting getting lazy with things. But we were open to, you know, hey, we may have to move around some. We didn't just want to get comfortable and have everything we always wanted and have the ideal American dream. And that wasn't our goal. We really wanted to impact people's lives. So a few weeks after Glen Eyrie, we became engaged. And then the following February, we were married on Groundhog Day. And didn't really plan that out, but that's easy because, you know, I know when our anniversary is always coming because on the calendar it says Groundhog Day. That doesn't say anything about our marriage. That's just, I know that's when we got married. So guys, you might pick a day there, you know, like it's always on the calendar. Just a little hint. But we were married in February and lived in Oklahoma City for 6 months and just had a wonderful time. And then moved up to Boulder to go to graduate school.
And then I had a baby.
Was in graduate school for 1 year, and then God led us to full-time ministry with student work. I went ahead and finished out my degree, but we worked there for 2 years.
Then I had another baby.
That was actually before the 2 years started, or during that time. So we worked with students there at the University of Colorado for 2 years, and then God led us back to OU to be on staff here.
And I had another baby.
And now we're starting our third year here at OU.
And now we have a dog.
And that's a beautiful dog. It really is. So during this time that we've been married, as I try to wrap this up now, some things that we, looking back, we noticed were very important things, is that we learned about communication and talking to each other. First of all, even before that, before we even started dating, see where God was working in each of our lives. Maybe some different things, but we were working on a foundation of a relationship with God and knowing Him and dealing. Julia had to deal with some things before she was really ready to date. So a lot of that happened before we ever dated. Then we learned how to communicate and talk through things and really laid that foundation down. That's very important. Even now we're working on that. It's just a continual process. It's not like you are married a couple years and get it all figured out and boom, there it is. It's continual. And the one thing we have learned too is that our personalities complemented each other very well. You know, I had some areas of weaknesses that she had strengths in and vice versa. We've also discovered since being married that those same personalities that complement each other can cause some conflict. And we've learned how to work through that, just getting to know each other better and learn to communicate through these things. And so that's some of the things that we'd like to leave you with tonight. Is there anything else? Thank you.
Thank you, Derek. And
Julie.
Forgive me. Now we're going to have Dave and Nancy Edwards.
Dave and Nancy have been on staff for 12 to 13 years. They've been married for 19, and they have four beautiful children. And when we asked Nancy the big question of the day, Nancy said that the very first thing that she thought of was that she really likes the fact that he loves to walk with God. And Dave said, actually Dave had to think about it, but just because he wanted to honor her, and he said, along with being a fantastic wife, she can skid on ice in a car better than any woman he knows.
You know what's fun about these things? You learn all this stuff you didn't know. I didn't know I was such a good skidder on ice. But that's okay. Obviously, I did not hear what Julie and Derek said. I was entertaining a little girl, but that's okay. I mean, I don't know how to transition from what they said to what I'm going to say. When I was first told about this, the thing that came to mind was that there are a couple things I was really grateful that I had learned before I ever got married. One of them is that I settled the question of what I was going to live for. What was my purpose in life? And just like you, I had to wrestle with what was I going to give my life for? Was it going to be that I was going to chase a man and my happiness the rest of my life would depend upon this man? Was I going to chase a career? Was I just going to live for myself? I had to wrestle with that. So I came to the conclusion that the only life that was worth living was the one that sought after God and sought to bring glory to Him and be involved in His kingdom work. So that's what I decided. Well, once that was decided, then I had to believe that if He felt like my life would be more beneficial to Him married, He'd hook me up with a man. If He felt like my life would be more beneficial to Him single, I would remain single. So once those two things were settled, I had to get on with the business of life. I could not go out and look at every possible guy out there and think, huh, I wonder if he's the one. You know, you remember the days when you come to Vespers and you notice all the new people. And if you're a male, you notice the females. And if you're a female, you notice the males. And you think, I wonder if he's the one. And Dick talked about the semester date. I was the one who sat in my room and wondered when the semester date would happen. Because when I was growing up, you didn't initiate those things, and you sat and you waited, and often you waited a long time. And so there was a standard joke that maybe it'll be a transfer student, or maybe it will be next semester, or maybe whatever. But when I got to be a senior in college, and my mom said, Nancy, what are you going to do with your life? And I said, well, I want to be married and have kids. And she said, honey, you're going to have to be nicer to the guys. Because I had never dated anyone seriously, you know, I just thought, well, Mom, you know, I'm doing all I know to do, and I think it's in God's hands. So, so obviously, I stepped out of college, no ring on my finger, no young man beside me, not wanting a career. I never really went to college with a career in mind. I went to college because that was the next step in life. And so when I stepped out, that's when I really had to wrestle with, okay, now what? Here I am. The world's ahead of me. I'm on my own as far as I'm not walking with somebody else. So what are you going to do with your life, Nancy? So that's when I had to wrestle with that. And so once I decided those questions, I began to learn how to minister to people, and I began how to spend time one-on-one with people, how to lead Bible studies, got involved in a very young ministry at the time that I was involved in college, and that was the best thing that ever happened to me. And there were some lessons that God walked me through as a single woman. I was glad I was single when I walked through them. And still believing that when God knew it was the right time, He'd bring a young man along. Now, little did you all know, and did I know at the time, that that young man had been in my life since I first walked into college. Dave had been around my life. He and I were the same age. I met him as a freshman, but there was just never any interest there. Except for some of the, you've heard a little side note. One date we went out as a senior, and it was a flop, and I thought, why was I ever interested in this guy? So anyway, I just got on with the business of life, and even to the point of I started buying my dishes. And for a girl, you knew that, you know, you didn't buy your dishes until you really thought you were going to be married, because anyway, and my roommate challenged me with the idea, I'll buy you your first place sitting. Go ahead and start life. Go ahead and live life. Why sit around and wait? And that was good advice. And so that's what I'd say. I'd say settle who you're going to live your life for, then get on and live life. And find out how to walk with God. Find out how to get involved in the things that are on people's heart, which is the Word of God and the souls of people. They're the only two things that are eternal. And now that I've been at it for a while, now that I've been married for a while, did you know I have no guarantee that tomorrow I'll wake up a married woman? Did you know that tomorrow I can wake up a widow? And I still have to wrestle with, what am I going to give my life for? What am I going to do with my time? What am I going to do? So see, just because once I walked down that aisle and got married, there's no guarantee I'll be a married woman the rest of my life. And I still have to decide, what am I going to exchange my life for? And so that's what the conclusion I came to.
Part of the reason that Nancy was having to wait is I was spending all my time dating her roommates. And failing there too. You know, one of the things I thought about that I learned while I was in college and shortly after, that's had tremendous benefits in our relationship, and both of us learned some things. We didn't learn it all, but we got some basic things down. It was just the thing about financial freedom and the tremendous benefit that's had for us. But I don't have time to talk about that. And I thought about talking about how we learned some things about how to have to gain a clear conscience, how to ask forgiveness and to reconcile relationships once they're broken, and the things we learned about that and how that's paying off today, but I don't have time to talk about that either. And about the benefits of establishing a mission in life, the sense of we're going somewhere. Nancy's already alluded to that, but I don't have time to talk about that. And the things we learned about a servant attitude, about how to really honor someone as more important than yourself. I tell you what, if there's anything that has paid tremendous dividends in our marriage, it's been just the things we've learned about how to serve one another. But I don't have time to talk about that. But what I would like to take the remaining few moments and share with you is a conviction that grew. I can't put a date on it. It wasn't Groundhog Day or anything like that that it occurred. But I knew as I was dating Nancy and as we were approaching marriage, that if I proposed marriage to her, I was making a lifelong decision. I knew that I had no option. In a sense, I had backed myself into a corner, and the corner was the will of God. It was a good corner. And it was a corner that said, I will never divorce you. You may wake up a widow someday, but you will never wake up someday a divorced woman. And I remind her of that from time to time. And when the marriages of people we know are falling apart, I will, at the dinner table or at night before we fall asleep, I will look her straight in the eye and I will say, honey, I will never, ever do that to you. Sometimes I sit down with my children and I'll put my hand on my son's shoulder or my daughter's, I'll stroke her hair or something like that, and I'll say, kids, I'm not a perfect father, but one thing I will never, ever, ever do. I will never leave your mother. And I'm not bragging about that. What I'm trying to do is to describe a conviction and a resolution that at least God brought both of us to that point through some help we got in college. I don't know that I'd ever heard about those kind of convictions beforehand. I guess you kind of, I imagine you treated wives like you treated girlfriends. You use them until you're done with them and then you get a new one. At least that's the ethic our high school had. Probably your high school also. And there's a lot of roadkill out there that occurs with that attitude. But through some help I got in college and through studying the Bible, I just realized that I need to be the kind of man that has the kind of character that if one day I say to a woman, "Will you marry me?" that what that means is that I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you. And when she says yes, that what that means is that I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you. And that's certainly paid some dividends for us.
Thank you, Dave and Nancy. Next we have Mark and Melissa Mingle.
And this is their first year here in staff, and they've been married for 2.5 years and have no kids. Melissa said that she likes the fact that Mark does the laundry, and he even does it before she gets a chance to get to it. Wow. Okay. And Mark said that that he appreciates that Melissa lets him decorate around the house, and they have this big Chicago Bulls picture in their house. So I think that's pretty cool too.
Well, Melissa and I both graduated here from OU 6 years ago. I was a freshman. Every Thursday I was at Vespers. Every Monday I was a freshman ministry team at the time. And actually at that time, Melissa was a freshman coordinator. So, guys, girls, you know, there's some encouragement. Freshman guys, you know, aim high. Because because I did, and God really provided something great. So... but we're both Oklahoma graduates. We're happy to be back here at the University of Oklahoma. I spent the last 2 years of my life at Scope Ministries right after I graduated. It's a biblical counseling center in Oklahoma City, learning how to counsel from God's Word. Melissa is a school teacher. She teaches junior high Spanish in Del City. And she has many, many war stories to tell you. And she'd be happy to. Anybody that's interested in being a teacher, she can discourage you in any way. She'd be happy to. So, but first, Melissa is going to speak a little bit about some of the things in our relationship.
Okay, we were going to talk a little bit about kind of how God brought us together. Like Mark said, we both were involved in the BSU. I started in 1988 as a freshman, and I was interested in dating, unlike some of the other staff members that got up and talked. I wasn't really dying to just run out and get married right away. I did think that I wanted to be the big career woman and everything, but I had been dating someone for a long time in high school, and I thought, oh good, I'm finally free, and now I can date lots of different people. And I'd had a pretty good biblical foundation, and my parents had taught me a lot about just purity and dating and things like that. So I was ready to go, and I got here, and unfortunately didn't have much use for my knowledge for quite some time. And God chose to really teach me in a way different than He teaches some people. And a lot of times I would look at other people and think, well, that's not fair, God. Why do they get to date? You know, look at this in their life or look at this. And I would kind of wonder why that I was never dating. And so that was something that really bothered me a lot. And I would struggle and I'd go back and forth. I would think, you know, well, I'm going to keep my focus on God and that's what's important. It's okay if I'm not dating now. And then I'd have my own somebody and think, oh, it's not okay. I really want him to ask me out. And one of the things that I would kind of struggle with is I would really think that God needed help in, you know, getting me together with someone. So if I knew that somebody went to the baker's dozen at a certain time, I'd conveniently be there. Or if I knew a guy, you know, would be in the physical science building at 12:30, I'd kind of stop by. And a good example is my freshman year, there was a guy that was a couple years older that went to the BSU that I kind of was interested in, and he worked at Goldie's. So suddenly that was my favorite place to eat with my roommate, and we would go to Goldie's to see him. And nothing ever came of any of those relationships because I was feeling like I needed to do something in order to catch someone or for someone to notice me. And a friend of mine, after several years in college, in fact, I'd already met Mark at that time. Like he said, I was a junior and I was a freshman coordinator and he was a freshman. And I thought he was kind of cute when I met him, but I didn't think much else about it because he was a freshman, so I thought, eh. And I thought he was nice and we knew each other, but that was about it. We were just kind of acquaintances at first. And anyway, we knew each other for quite a while before we started dating. But a friend had given me a book. By the time it got to be my senior year, I'd only been on a handful of dates in 4 years and thought, this is pitiful, and, you know, what am I going to do? I'm about to, actually, I was on the five-year plan, so this is my first senior year, but almost finished with 4 years of college, and I thought, you know, something really needs to be done. And I was talking with a friend of mine about just really struggling with being content with not dating and not having, feeling like there were any veritable options, and she gave me this booklet, and she said, I had a booklet that really helped me. You might want to read it. And when she gave it to me, the title really didn't encourage me a lot. It was called The Gift of Singleness. And I thought, well, that sounds like getting socks for Christmas. Great gift, God. You know, it's like, I don't want to be single. So I read it, and it just reminded me of a lot of good things that I'd already heard at the BSU and at church, that I really needed to have my focus on God, and that God was going to take care of everything else. And it had kind of a scary, I can't remember exactly how it was worded, but I do remember that one of the things it mentioned is that it may be God's intention for me to be single, and I need to decide whether it's more important to be married or to honor God and to follow Him regardless of what His plan is. And that was kind of a scary thing for me to pray, but I said, okay, God, I'll be honest with you. I want to be married. I don't want to go through life single, but it's more important to honor you. And I know that my life is going to be more fulfilling if I do honor you. So I prayed that, and it was several months before Mark and I started becoming kind of interested in each other. But it's kind of funny. It's kind of like Julie's story a little bit, except Mark, I don't think, was purposely looking for me. But I've started to develop a little bit of an interest in him. But he had dated two of my roommates already, and his nickname used to be the Babe Magnet in college. So I thought, well, you know, I kind of like him and he's kind of good looking, but I don't think he'd really ask me out. And so I just kind of didn't think much else about it. But I would just bump into him all the time, and I wasn't planning it. I didn't, you know, he didn't work at Goldie's and I didn't go there to see him. But I would, one night I was taking one of my DT girls home, and she lived in Walker, and Mark was just getting home from work and stopped and talked to me for a while, and I would just bump into him all these different places. And it was really funny that God used that to show me that He was in control, that I didn't have to manipulate running into someone and finding them and finding ways to for them to notice me. And Mark was very much initiated in our relationship. I didn't do anything. I didn't call him or anything like that. He really did take control and was a good initiator in that. As far as getting married, I'm going to kind of jump a little bit since we don't have a lot of time, but we dated for, since I was older than Mark, I graduated first, and after we'd been dating about a year, we really knew that we wanted to get married, and Mark had one more year of school, and it just feels like you're never going to get married whenever you're dating. It's like, oh, a year will never get here. We can't wait that long. And so we kind of talked about getting married in December and just having one semester where we were married and still going to school, and we really didn't entertain the idea very long before we both felt like, no, we better wait till we're both done. And I feel like God really honored us in that decision, and in retrospect we could see where we would have really had a lot of financial difficulty and a lot of unnecessary stress on a new marriage. So for us, I feel like that's a way that God really blessed us, just in waiting on Him and waiting on His timing. And I think that God can show you who the right person is, but you want to be real careful that the timing's right for marriage also. Even if it is the right person, I think it's possible to get married too early also. And that's all I was saying.
You know, I heard, and kind of going along with what Melissa just said, you know, I had it said to me, I think when I was a freshman, that if Satan can't get you, can't trick you into marrying the wrong person, he'll trick you into marrying the right person at the wrong time. So be very careful about your timing. Really pray about and seek God's timing. Don't hurry things. I mean, seek God's plan. I think one of the most important things of our relationship has been our friendship, and that's something that God really developed. Our personalities maybe aren't a lot alike, but our sense of humor is very much alike. We think that a lot of the same things are funny, and we just laugh ourselves silly to this day. And that's a great part of our relationship. I can honestly tell you that Melissa is my best friend in the world. I love my wife, and I don't have a closer friend in the world than her. I've got some good close friends that are guys, and we still get together, and we still have some accountability and do some things like that, but Melissa is my very best friend. I can share my struggles with her. I'm honest with her. I tell her what I'm struggling with, and she can pray for me. And she does the same with me. She tells me what she struggles with and what problems she's having and what thoughts she's having and, you know, just some of the things in her life that that she's struggling with. She can tell me, and I'll listen and I'll pray with her, and we really encourage each other that way, and we tell each other things that we don't tell anybody else, and that's a real blessing. Kind of like Melissa said, it's important to trust God and not your own abilities. I'm happy to know that Melissa wasn't stalking me and that she didn't scheme and plan behind my back, but that God really initiated just some, you know, I guess some people would say chance meetings, but I don't think they were chance meetings. I think God really chose those times for us to bump into each other, and we began just to see each other more and more and began to be involved in some different things at the BSU and things that, I think it was a Glenn planning deal or something where we got to be together, and there was a committee for planning a party or something, and we just both happened to be on that committee, and just things kind of began to work out where we got together more and more. But again, begin to trust in God and not your own abilities, and I think Melissa covered that real well. You know, Cindy mentioned that I do the laundry around our house, and it's not because I love laundry. I mean, laundry stinks, especially my laundry. Laundry, you know, it's not the most fun thing to deal with. I don't love laundry, but I love Melissa, and so I'll do the laundry. I don't love cleaning dishes. I don't love, you know, cleaning out the dishwasher, but I love Melissa, and I can serve her by doing that. And that's one thing that is really a lot of fun in marriage, is that I know I'm helping her. I mean, especially right now, she's not going to plan to teach for very much longer, but at the point we're at right now, she teaches and gets home, and she's tired. And I have time, you know, the schedule at the BSU, being on BSU staff, is flexible enough that I can do some things. I can run home if I need to, if I need to clean up around the house, if I, you know, want to throw a load of laundry in and come to the BSU, I can do stuff like that. And I do that because I know that it serves her, it helps her, and it encourages her, that I don't just leave the house a mess, I don't leave certain things for her to do. And it's not that, you know, I think there's guy jobs and girl jobs, it's just, am I going to serve my wife? And can I do things that really encourage her? Can I do things that help her out so that it's not all piled on her? And God's really given me, for some reason, the ability to do that. And I don't know, I mean, I think part of it comes from my training, too. I think my parents kind of taught me to kind of clean up after myself and things like that. But I really think God has put that on my heart to serve my wife and to do things for her that that could be done by her, but that I'd rather do just because I'd rather see them done for her rather than stack them up for her to do. Again, we just see Christ's unconditional love in each other all the time. I mean, marriage is full of, you know, faults and full of things that, you know, go wrong and arguments and disagreements and, you know, I'll screw up big time and need to ask for forgiveness, and sometimes that happens the other way around, although probably not as often. But it's good because I see Christ's love in Melissa. When I blow it and when I really mess it up, I can say, Melissa, I'm sorry, I really was a jerk and I really acted stupid and it was not a good thing. And I see Christ's unconditional love. You know, I can do something and just really blow it. Melissa's like, you know, I'll love you and pray for you, rather than clam up and get mad at me and decide, oh, you know, this is just, you know, this is so frustrating. Instead of doing that, she chooses to love me, and she chooses to encourage me and pray for me. And that's something that I hope all of you can look forward to in your marriage. Thanks.
Okay, now we have Max and Sandra Barnett.
Max and Sandra have been on staff here for 29 years, and they've been married for 31, and they have one son and now one grandchild. And Sandra, when we asked the big question, said that she really likes Max's spontaneity for fun. And Max said that he really loves Sandra's heart for helping girls walk with God. Max and Sandra.
Well, believe it or not, but we did not go to OU, either one of us, although a lot of people did. But I was raised in Corpus Christi, Texas, and went to the University of Corpus Christi. And when I entered college, I, like Nancy, was thinking about, not thinking about career. It was not the fashionable thing to do then. A woman was going to college to get an education in case something, when you got married, in case something happened to your husband, you would be prepared for life and you could do something to support yourself. And so career was not in my thinking, although that's what I was preparing for. And so in the back of my mind, when I was in college, there was the thought, surely I'll be engaged or married before I get out of college. And some of us would look around at some of the married students, and they had married student housing, and oh, it looks so, you know, setting up little doll houses and taking, you know, playing house is what it looked like. And so without realizing all this work that was involved with marriage and taking care of two people and going to school at the same time. And so I was in love with love. It was kind of a glamorous thing. I grew up on the movies of the 50s, and, you know, it's kind of, and they lived happily ever after, and there was a little bit of reality lacking in my thinking. But anyway, I was trying to go to school in 3 years and three summers. I would not advise that, but I did. And so I was started about December before I was graduating in August. I started dating a fella that had been in the music department with me, and so he was a year younger. But he was just he just kind of swept me off my feet, and the closer we got to that wedding, the more unsure I was. He was very sure. He just assured me up and down, and I felt kind of foolish not knowing. But I thought I loved him, but I wasn't quite sure, and I had so many doubts, but I wasn't talking to anyone. I wasn't counseling with anyone, which was a big mistake. And people all around me were saying, oh, honey, we're so glad for you, and they pat me, and the ladies in the church wanted to give me a shower. And so they were, you know, that made it all the worse, because here you are going crazy in your head and heart. And so I'd pray, God, help me to love him. Well, that's the wrong prayer. Okay, if you're praying that one, something's wrong. First clue. So because of the goodness of God, he gave me the courage to back out of that situation. It was him. It was not me, because I was one of those girls. I did not want to hurt anybody. And so I knew it would be so very hurtful. And, of course, he didn't understand. And I said, well, let's postpone this wedding. And it broke it up, and which was very good. And he was a nice guy going into full-time Christian work and music. And so it wasn't that, you know, it was just not the right one. And God very graciously got me out of that. Because I'd had a church background and learned, also I had a biblical ethic as far as moral purity. And despite me, God saved me from myself. And I'm so very, very grateful for that background, that I don't have to look back with regrets. There were some regrets, but God was very gracious in that area. That was in November. The wedding was off. I had a wedding dress. I had one shower. Had to give it all back. That's not too good, but it's better than marrying the wrong person. And so that was a hard experience, but one I had no regrets in doing. So shortly after that, probably several months after that, God opened up the door for me to go to Dallas for a job. And I'm going to let Max take it from there.
I grew up out in West Texas and planned to be a veterinarian, so the only school I could go to in the state was Texas A&M. It was an all-men's school, and God knew that's probably the best thing for me at the time. I remember going to the Baptist Student Union when I was a freshman, And the BSU director's wife spoke one night, and I'll never forget what she said. She had 3 points. She talked about your God, your goal, and your gal. And as she spoke that night about learning to trust God, where are you going in life, you need to get that settled, and then trusting God for a wife. I went up to her after she spoke, and I said, you know, Ellen, I'm here, I'm 500 miles away from home. I don't have a car. I don't have money to be going out on weekends like me and the students. Since class is over on Friday at A&M, I mean, students would head out to Houston, Baylor, just wherever there were girls. And I didn't have the time to do that. And I told her, I said, you know, Ellen, I feel like while I'm here and God had started doing a work in my life, I need to grow. I need to learn how to walk with Him, and I need to be having a ministry on this campus. And she said, well, Max, I agree with you. And I said, Ellen, another thing, I don't believe God is limited in leading me to the right person to marry, because right now and for the next 4 years, I will not have opportunities to date. And she said, well, Max, I agree with you, but you'll just have to prove it in your own life. And so I was walking home from the BSU that night, walking across the campus, just praying, and I said, God, I do want to prove it in my own life. While I'm here, I want to learn to walk with you. I want to be used in your view in the lives of others, so that when I graduate, I don't look back with regrets. And so I'm going to give my life to walking with you, trying to have a ministry on this campus, and someday I want you to lead me to the person you want me to marry. Well, it's not that I never dated. Another incident, another experience. One summer, I was home, and we were on Sunday night in what we called training union at the time, and it was just a youth group meeting. And we were talking about witnessing, and there's a girl there that was a very attractive girl, and I was very attracted to her. And I noticed as we were talking about witnessing, and I was sharing some experiences I'd had, that she seemed very, very interested. But I also noticed she was very good looking, and I knew how deceitful an eggy heart can be. So I prayed about asking her for a date, and I had as much peace as a guy can have when he prays about asking a girl for a date. that's hard to have much peace when you're scared to death. But I asked her for a date, and that night I was getting dressed to go for the date, and my mother came in, and she said, Max, she knew where I was going. She said, what are y'all going to do tonight? And I said, oh, Mom, I don't know. You know what I'd really like to do? I wish I could just go pick the girl up and we could continue to talk about what we were doing Sunday night. So my mother began to give me a lecture about girls. She said, you don't understand girls. She didn't know she was a prophet, but I've since found out she's dead right. But she said, girls like to have fun. They like to go places. They like to do things. And I understood that. And I can remember driving up that night to pick this girl up. I said, Lauren, maybe Mom is right, and that's all girls want is just to go have fun. But you know, God, I pray someday you'll lead me to a girl who has the same interest and really does want to witness and really does want to grow. So I decided going up there that night, I'd ask her what she wanted to do. So when she got in the car, and I said, Roxanne, what would you like to do tonight? Now, this is on at this movie house. This is on at this movie house. We can go to either place. And she said, you know what I'd really like to do, if it's okay for you? If this wouldn't offend you, you know what I would most like to do? And I said, no. She said, could we just go somewhere and have a Coke and continue to talk about what we were talking about Sunday night? And so we did. Had a tremendous time. When I took her home, we pulled up in front of her house, she started crying. Well, I didn't know what to do with that. I still don't real well. But she said, Max, and I asked her, I said, well, what's wrong? And she said, you know, let me tell you something. She said, I grew up, said my dad was killed in the war. And said, I was left, my mother had to work, and I was home quite a bit, and then she married again, my stepdad, was also killed in an automobile accident. Said my mom was gone. Said I grew up pretty fast. Said I started dating when I was too young. And she said I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud about. And she said, you know, I just didn't know there were guys like you still around. And so I went home that night. I never felt led to ask her for another date. She went back to college where she was going. But God had shown me that something that night. Someday, there'll be somebody who has the same interest that you have. Well, I finished school. God began to, as a result of the experience I'd had with college students, I knew I wanted to give my life to working some way in discipling people. And so after that, I moved to seminary in Fort Worth. I went for a year and then received a call one day to go to Dallas to start student work.
And so the day he began as a student director, I began as the secretary for his boss in the student department there in Dallas, Texas. And so that very day, the secretaries were having an orientation, and I was serving coffee, tea, whatever. And he was there, and I noticed him, but there was no particular interest there. And so about three or four months later, he called, and we went to the same church, and so he wanted to take me home from church. So I rode to church with my roommates, and then we went out for a Coke afterward. And so as we began to talk, he started talking to me about my devotional life. Now, where I'd gone to school was a Christian college, and there were a lot of Christian guys, and I dated some of them, but I'd never seen a Christian like this one. Because he started talking to me about having a personal relationship with the Lord as far as a devotional life. I'd been a part of a BSU, but I tell you, it was real, real different from this one. And so he started writing on a napkin. He wrote some verses on a napkin. He said, if you'll memorize these, they'll really be a blessing to you. And I remember the first verse that he gave me. It was 1 Corinthians 1:7. And it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so I memorized that and started trying to have a quiet time. And then started memorizing some verses. And he began to invite me to some of the BSU meetings. He was the BSU director at Parkland School of Nursing, the Methodist School of Nursing. And here was this Aggie going to nursing school, you know, to work with the girls. Well, this is a different experience, and then he was also at Southwestern Medical School. So he took me along, and I got exposed then to some of the Christian basics and some of the things. And I began to think something's wrong with me, because I've been a Christian all these years. I had a childhood experience, and I began to see girls who prayed and they saw answers, and I was kind of, well, God, forgive me for my sin and bless the world, you know, kind of nebulous. So you never saw any answers. And so God was kind of distant. I mean, it was something you did because you were told you were supposed to do it. So that personal relationship with the Lord, that reality of Christ was missing. Now, there were times, where I felt close to the Lord. But, I mean, there was too many of this other, you know, this coldness. And so then, and I saw girls that read their Bible. And they really enjoyed it, and they got something out of it. And I began to compare my life and just thinking, Lord, is something wrong? And so I had to go back and just say, Lord, if I have never met you in a personal way, I really want to make sure that I know you. And so I went through it for a period of time, just really struggling with that issue of the assurance of my salvation. But God used our dating relationship to make a real, real difference in our life. I would not be where I am today had God not brought this man into my life. And I've been privileged to walk by his side and to watch God bless over the generations of students. It's been a thrill. And to have a purpose greater than myself. And I think when we got married, because of my experience with this broken engagement, I was very nervous about making this decision again. I realized then that how easily I could not only mess up my life, but his too. So it was a very, very serious thing when we got married. But the thing about it was that when God let us know, and we dated for 3 years, we were a little older. I was 25 when we married. He was about 28. And but when we got married, we knew for a definite
for definite sure this was what God wanted us to do. In fact, we knew that day that it would have been disobedience had we not gotten married. And before, when I was engaged before and just struggling with that relationship, there was no peace. I was dragging my feet. And in this relationship, when the time came, there was pure joy. There was no regret. There was just, it was just extremely delightful.
I want to finish with just one word. And we apologize tonight. We were all going to try to take 6 minutes a couple. You saw how that got shot, okay? We'll not normally do this. But let me just finish with one thing. The last year I was in college, I went home for Christmas. And one night, felt that I needed to just get time with the Lord. That night I was spending some time with Him, and God gave me a promise about a wife. It was 3 years after this before I met Sandra. But I wrote down a note that night, and I'm just going to read briefly a little part of it. Tonight I am claiming the Lord's promise for a wife. I committed myself to the Lord some 4 years ago, trusting Him to supply if He wanted me married, and if He didn't want me married, fine, for Christ is all, Colossians 3:11, and I am complete in Him, Colossians 2:10. I leave the choice of a partner to Him. I feel tonight that God has spoken to me from Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. God said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A verse came to my mind that I'd memorized, Psalms 84:11. God said, no good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. And Psalms 34:10 says, but though they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. I am tremendously impressed tonight with God's faithfulness from Lamentations 3:22 and 23, 2 Thessalonians 3:3 and 2 Timothy 2:13, and today especially from 1 Kings 8:56, there has not failed one word of all God's good promise. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He has fulfilled, as He fulfilled His promise by His word to Moses, His servant, so He will be as faithful in fulfilling His promise to me. And then I'll skip a little bit. God was very plain when He said three times, good thing. I purpose in my heart before God to wait for His choice for me in His own good time forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven, Psalms 119, verse 89. And Lord, lead me to meet Your conditions of these verses, to walk uprightly and seek the Lord. And I prayed that night and said, God, You know I've not done this perfectly, but for the last few years I have tried to walk uprightly and to seek You. My great desire is that when God sees fit to fulfill His promise, that together our lives may count to the very utmost for Christ. A verse I want to share with her, and we said this verse together in our wedding. You want to share it?
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together.
Okay, let's pray together. Father, one of the great joys of my life has been to live with Sandra. And another great joy of my life is a tremendous privilege that Sandra and I have to work with these dear couples that have shared their testimonies tonight. Father, thank You for them, for their examples. And Father, I pray that as the students out here tonight have listened and have been so patient, that they will know that You will do for them what You've done for every one of us, that You want to provide for us. And Father, just as You brought all of us through this thing of having to face, are we going to be single? Are we willing to get down to business and wait? And God, You saw us all through that. And I pray for these that are here tonight, that they might know the joy of someday living with someone that is committed to Jesus Christ, first of all, and then committed to them for life. God, thank you for our marriages and for these students. In Jesus' name, amen.